Dirty Point Buck.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Hey, welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's, wow. We're already into the first weekend of October. There's dudes in trees. There's leaves falling. There's all kinds of tailgate going on. It's just a great time of year to be a grilling guy. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is up in a tree. So my normal go-to, Chaz Thompson, the Baritone of Beer, is joining me today. So, Chaz, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Yeah, well, some days it's safer when Bob's up a tree.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're a deer, right?
So I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little nappy that goes on up there every time. He gets one of those comfortable stands, and he just, you know, they can walk right underneath him. He never even knew it. But easy to pick on him when he's not here, but the truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah. We'll check his freezer come December.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So this week, as if you're a regular listener, you know I'm from Charlotte, where I grew up anyway, and so the Shartucky boys are having their bow camp, but it's really not bow camp. I mean, it's a high school class reunion once a year, and but that's this later today. And it used to be that I'd get down there on Friday morning and I'd start cooking, and then a bunch of guys come over and sit around and call each other names all night Friday night. You know, you hunt Saturday, and then Saturday night the girls would come over to the pole barn and we'd, you know, just have another yeehaw, and I'd cook all weekend. Well, now it's down to Friday. That's a lot of work on Friday and Saturday. Well, Jop, why don't you just show up with some food, man, at like 4 o'clock, and then, you know, we'll get it set up and open the chafing dishes when the people come by. So
chafing dishes at deer camp.
I'm telling you, dude, that's the way that's where we're at. But still doing, you know, over the years, I grabbed toys, right? Different kinds of cooking equipment. And I've been last year was the griddle, as Bob likes to, you know, give me a bunch of junk on that. But this year, going back traditional, I'm bringing brisket, I'm bringing pulled pork, mac and cheese, and beans. And Mama's going to make a caramel apple cobbler, which we have found is a huge hit with the barbecues that we've been doing recently. So we're going old style, right back to where it is. But again, not showing up till about 4 o'clock with all that stuff in a hot box. So been cooking all night on Friday night, and there's a bunch of stuff still on the smoker, so I can bring it as fresh as possible. But so that's what's going on with me this weekend. Sunday is just going to be a day of rest, hopefully. What about you, man?
Well, it's Pulaski days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to be, I think I'm going to be helping out down at Vytautas for a little bit. And enjoying.
That's Lithuanian, but that's part of Poland. I mean, real close.
Next door.
Right. Exactly.
And then our good friend Laura Shapanik, she's right. The caterer at Fifth Street, so I always sneak over there Friday afternoon. So yesterday I had my lunch with that Polish plate. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. She's got it dialed in. I mean, that
her dill pickle soup is to kill for.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's having a birthday later this year,
yeah.
And I'm actually going to provide the pulled pork for her birthday celebration. We talked to her earlier this week, and she had made like 150 gallons of that pickle soup.
Yeah,
and she makes it ahead of time so she can serve it, heat it, and serve it at Fifth Street there. And she said it probably still won't be enough.
No, and I think she makes like 200 of those big foil pans of glumke.
Yeah.
And she'll run out of those.
Sure. Oh, they're the best, man. But, you know, she's got it dialed in. And it's actually the best Polish food
she
I've ever eaten.
That Polish girl.
Right. Yep. And that's her catering company. And it wouldn't be a good time to call her this weekend, but you can go try her stuff.
Leave her an email.
Right.
She'll get to that in a week or so.
But, you know, we're always a fan of really good food, and she produces really good food. So if you're into Polish food, like a lot of people are. I mean, great time to try it this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Conrad, you're involved in the, I mean, the station is keeps tabs on all of that.
Yeah, 14 halls. Yeah. This is the big fundraiser. And as you know, the Jackson Street Hall
They're having some difficulties. So get out there. And in fact, the Plotsky Days t-shirt this year, you can get them at some of the meat markets and at all the halls.
Right.
All the proceeds, $20, goes to Jackson Street Hall, the oldest in the U.S.
Wow, so, cool. So they've just got a perpetuation problem a little bit.
And, yeah, you know,
need younger guys in there to
and,
join.
And the other halls are helping out. I like it.
Yeah, well, there's your community right there. There's nobody's competitive.
A lot of those buildings are old.
Right.
I mean, I did some. I hung a TV at the Lithuanian Hall, and when I drilled into those studs, I realized old furniture makers built that building.
Right.
Because those 100-year-old studs were like rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oak. Oak, and they're literally 2 inches by 4 inches. They're not a modern 2x4.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And those people, they're great. They're preserving their heritage.
Right.
You know, celebrating where they came from, where their ancestors came from.
Right.
And they're sharing it with us this weekend.
Yeah.
So you get to go try some Polish food, maybe even polka dance.
Right. Yeah, there's lots of bands around. I know that Sobeys has the t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're a big supporter of this. And there's been, you know, kielbasa eating contests and
pierogi
all kinds
eating
of stuff.
Yeah,
all of that stuff going on, and it's just a good time, just a really good time.
Oh, it's a blast. If you don't have anything else going on this afternoon and you're not up a tree like Bob.
Right, right, exactly. Climb up in a bar stool and eat some Polish food.
And they're going to go on tomorrow afternoon, too. So Sunday afternoon's usually like a big family day. You'll see tables of four generations.
Yeah, yep.
Sitting there enjoying the Polish food. Grandpa dancing with one of the little girls out there in the polka man.
Yeah, right. And looking forward to it every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when they get together like that. Yeah. So you said there's 14 halls.
14 halls participating this year. It is the 151st celebration of Pulaski Days in West Michigan. So it's 150 and they're not done yet.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. Man, how cool is that? I mean, that's what makes up the fabric of our town here in West Michigan is that, you know, we got lots of heritage. We got lots of nationalities that imported here legally and went through the process and ended up founding their roots here and growing generation after generation.
And if you go and you're involved or just even hang out at one of those halls, you know, I mean, you don't even have to be Polish to be a member anymore. And you start talking to some of those people. It's really a pretty cool story on how those halls started. They were the aid societies that helped those immigrants transition into America.
Oh, okay.
Teaching them English, helping them get a job, helping them with finances, and acclimating them to the new world.
Right.
And over the years, they've helped every generation that came through. And it's really cool to look at some of them. I know, like, Vitatis has a heritage room that has a hell of a lot of history in there.
Right, right.
But you'll find that in all the halls, and you find one of the older members. They can tell you great stories about, you know, when their grandfather came over or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that they're warm and they're open to anybody that wants to come in. And that's the cool part of West Michigan, man. I mean, you don't have to be of any particular nationality, race, ethnicity, nothing. Just come on in. Eat some really good food if you've never had Polish food. It's amazing.
You got a couple of beers, too.
Right, yeah. And all of these have been, you know, come alive over the years and really have evolved into something that's fun. But you'll walk into some of those halls and the band's playing in the back and it's wall-to-wall people. The food is flowing. The drinks are flowing. Everybody's got a smile on their face. And it's just a really cool thing for West Michigan. I think it is. But anyway. Chaz, in the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about what you've been cooking, because I know and what you've been doing, because we've been up you've been up to the camp and you cleared some trails. I saw some stuff. You had some trail cam pictures of a pair of bucks on one of your piles.
Oh, I got stories.
Yeah, all right. But anyway, how are we doing on time, Conrad? We good? Or,
yeah, about 30 seconds.
All right, man. Well, I can ramble on for more than 30 seconds. That's what
yeah,
we do.
That's easy.
But anyway, so. You know what? The fall's here. Clean your equipment before you put it away and maybe burn it a few more times, too, because it's tailgate season. It's hunting season. You're going to have a lot of fresh venison coming your way for most of the guys that are listening here and the ladies. And you know what? It's just a great time to be out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, and see what comes out of it, man. And if you got any questions, hit us up on Facebook. You know, we're out there, the grilling guys.
We actually have email addresses, too.
Right, yeah. That's crazy stuff. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Chaz and I will be back in a minute.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you. Now hit me.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob's up in a tree trying to fill the freezer with some venison. So my buddy Chaz, who you all have heard before, is sitting in and joining me. Appreciate you making time, Chaz.
Yeah, I've been up to deer camp getting things ready.
Yeah?
My good buddy Doug and I, we've been doing all that maintenance stuff, you know, clearing the shooting lanes, mowing. I had the 1953 Ford 8N. It's the Jubilee edition out there mowing.
The Jubilee edition.
That was the Jubilee edition.
Yeah.
And I was mowing with Brush Hog, and I was having such a great time. I had the tunes rolling in the headphones and everything, and I ran out of gas.
Oh, that probably doesn't have a gas gauge being a 70-year-old tractor.
Nope. And so I had to flag Doug down. He was on a quad trimming some stuff, and he had to run and go get some more gas.
But, right.
We went through a couple of tanks of fuel up there cutting and cleaning and getting everything ready.
Does he have a Brush Hog behind it or something?
Yeah,
or?
Running a 60-inch Brush Hog behind that.
Yep.
And we got a couple of tractors up there, and we had the chainsaws out. You know, there's always a little bit of blowdown and things like that. And we actually scored some smoker wood.
Oh, really?
Found some seasoned
stuff that was ready to go, huh?
Well, certain kinds of tree are better in the smoker than others.
Right, absolutely.
And so I'm a guy that carries a chainsaw quite often, and we get out there and we do our work. Always take a look at what you're cutting.
Right.
You don't always want to just pitch it off in the woods or throw it in the burning pile.
Right.
Sometimes it's nice to cut you like some 4-inch long chunks.
Yeah, what'd you find?
I found some wild cherry.
Ooh.
And it had died and just tipped over. So it was like standing dead for a while.
Right.
So it was dry when it hit the ground, and we got up there and I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
I said, I got to load up a couple trailers full of this and behind the quad, and we hauled them up. And I said, some of that's going in the truck to go home to the smoker.
Right. Yeah. So did you, when Bob does that in his woods, but did you take the branches? That what I like, the branches that are maybe 4 to 6 inches around, not the trunk, but the branches, and you just cut them into little discs. So they look like a...
Yeah, we call them cookies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we cut a bunch of cookies, and I've learned over the years, if you save your big onion sacks...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or the sack that maybe some of that ornamental deer or the old turkey food might come in.
Right.
Those are perfect sacks to put those cookies in to let them dry and cure if you're not finding a dry log.
Right. And we did that with hickory, and it was green that Bob cut out of his woods. And I did the same thing and had three of them hanging in my barn for a couple years. And then now they're in a big tote because I don't have to go out to the barn to get it. And I can just, you know, grab one, hit it with a hatchet, because you don't want a hard disc unless your fire's really hot, because they don't catch on fire that well. But if you take that disc, hit it with a little hand hatchet, bust it in half, now you got a raw edge of that hot or that wood, and it gets hot quick and smokes like crazy. And but there again, when you're smoking, I attribute smoke to perfume. okay? A little bit is wonderful. A lot of it is offensive, right? And you've been in an elevator at one time when the gal had just put on a fresh dose of perfume before she hopped in there because she's going to an appointment. And you're like, whoa!
Yeah, man, Tammy Faye, dial it back.
Right, yeah, I hope she's not coming to my office, right? But anyway, so it's the same thing with smoke. And I would, when we talk about smoking, I generally make this disclaimer is a little bit is great, a lot is not.
Well, and different kinds of wood are going to produce different tones and flavors and
right.
bitterness and
right.
things that come out. You know, I like red oak, but red oak goes a long way.
Right, right.
And the fruit woods, like cherry and apple and such, they're a little more forgiving.
Right.
You can use a little bit more of that wood.
Yep. Hickory's in there between those two.
Yeah.
If you hear of mesquite, beware.
Yes.
It's super strong. It has a very unique flavor, but you can oversmoke with mesquite in a hurry. And now, you know, our friends in Texas that make Texas barbecue, that's what they use. And I think they've got a little bit adjusted palate to that. When I've been down there, I got a brother that lives in Texas, and every time I go to see him, I go to the barbecue. But it's usually pecan down there on the light side or mesquite.
Yeah.
And it depends on which barbecue joint you go to.
But yeah, when I'm out there in the woods, man, I'm always trying to be conscious about, what might I use this for?
Yeah. So I got a question for you. As I mentioned in the last segment, going to Shartucky later today. Still got some time to put together the what we're going to do with the meat. Okay, so I've got, there'll be about 50 people down there, and I got two brisket flats that are on the smoker right now, so I'm going to have 20 pounds of brisket with me, but everybody loves brisket. But I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to put it out in a pan, and it's going to be sliced, and they're going to be able to just enjoy the flavor of a brisket, but I want to make some sandwiches out of it, and I want to make something else so that it's just not a big old pan of meat. Although that's wonderful, people will love it, I'd like them to be able to do something else with it. So I'm looking for a sandwich recipe that you might think is fantastic with a piece of brisket. It can be simple, you know, a little bit complex, don't care, but just wanted to ask you that question.
Hey, you know, those little Hawaiian King rolls,
right?
Those things are super durable. They work great for that. Or the rolls that you get over at Schnitz.
Right.
Those are great. I always think a little bit of Carolina coleslaw.
Okay.
A little coleslaw on top of that meat, just and I
So is that a vinegar-based one or a creamy one?
Creamy one.
Right, right.
And just put that on the brisket. Now, if it was vinegar, we'd go with the pork.
Right.
But
I'm going to have that too, so there you go. We're versatile.
Yeah. But it gives you just a little bit of crisp crunch,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of freshness on that top, and right now there's cabbages to be had.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. And slaw is easy to make. You got three or four ingredients in it, or you can cheat and go to the store and buy a bag of pre-cut and just add some dressing to it.
Yep.
But going with the creamy dressing, I would agree. So, Chaz, pickled onions, the red ones.
Yeah.
Okay. I've looked at a couple recipes. Have you ever made those? I have not.
I have not made them, but I have eaten the hell out of them.
Right. Right.
You know, you'll find me with a jar and a fork.
Yep. And so I thought that might be good on the pulled pork.
Those could be good.
You know, just same thing on that Hawaiian bun. Just something to give it a little zing. Like you said, we're going to use the vinegar on the pork and the creamy on the brisket. But that vinegar is, the onions are in essence, pickled in red wine vinegar, right? That's what gives them the redness,
yep.
generally? Yeah. Yeah. So think I'd like to whip up a batch of those. I looked at a couple recipes, and it seemed like if the onions are in there just a couple hours, they're going to be...
Yeah. As I understand it, you put a hot brine over them.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in the jar, let them come to room temperature, then pop them in the cooler.
Yeah.
And that'll tighten them up a little bit.
Yeah, but just a nice little tangy, and they lose a lot of their heat when they've been pickled, but they still got that crunchiness. And so I'm gonna take a run at those yet today.
Now, a side pan of cornbread.
Oh, yeah.
Appropriate.
Yeah, that's true too.
Especially if you got a big cast iron to put it in, because
yep.
Yep. That really shows off some presentation.
Sure. So, do you put sweet cornbread, or do you just use a regular?
I do spicy.
Yeah.
Chop up some peppers in it.
Okay, like jalapeno.
A little bit of jalapenos, a little serranos.
Yeah.
Maybe a little red pepper. Just
fine
give it some
dice.
Fine dice. Throw it right in there with it.
Mix it up.
And I actually like to put a little bit of, you know, just corn in there, canned corn.
Right, drained.
Drain it out and mix it in your batch, and it just gives it a little more texture.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we got one of Chaz's buddies, Linus from Three Gatos Brewing, and he's going to get on line with us, and we're going to talk some beer. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. As usual, we've got a mishmash of stuff going on when Chaz and I get together. And Barbecue Bob, he's out in a tree doing a little hunting today. So we thought we'd Chaz to join me. And lo and behold, Chaz is always a great addition to the show. And he's got one of his buddies that we're going to chat with right now.
Linus from Three Gatos. Linus, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. And you guys?
Oh, we're talking barbecue. This is a great weekend to be out at this. It's a wonderful time of the year. What do you guys got going over there at Three Gatos right now?
We have a lot of stuff going. We just finished updating our menu for the fall, so we changed some stuff, especially on the sandwich side. We did some really good events now in September, like our Oktoberfest celebration. And we have more special events coming now in October, like live music on the 13th. We have drag bingo on the 24th, special trivia on the 25th. And I'm still trying to wrap everything to make sure we can do our cigars and beer event on the 27th.
Wow. Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does. So I was listening to that. You can't just blow by drag bingo without explaining to me what that is.
Well, it's bingo, but it's hosted by drag queens.
Okay.
So you add a little bit of flair and extravagance to your regular boring bingo.
Hey, man, hats off to you there. I'm curious. I'm very curious about that. And I can eat your wonderful food and drink your awesome beer while I'm playing bingo?
Yes. And get entertained by some great folks.
Yeah, how cool is that? Only in West Michigan, baby. That's great stuff right there.
So, Linus, what are your top three beers on tap right now?
So, our top three beers year-round are two of our mainstay IPAs, because who doesn't like a good IPA, right? So one is our hazy IPA, the Maine Coon. It's a really nice and fluffy, fruity hazy IPA. Second one is the American Bobtail, so a classic double IPA, bitter, malty, and hoppy. And then the third one is our Minskin Kolsch, this German blonde ale, really easy drinking, refreshing, good for any time of the year.
Ooh, those all sound really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
So what would I pair with that off of your menu? Because you said you just updated your menu. Go through this for us, if you would, please.
Yeah, what would you put with the Kolsch?
Kolsch, as it's a very easy drinking, hang out with your friends type of beer, most of our appetizers. So the traditional Brazilian chicken dumpling, the coxinha, some fried yuca. That would be, and then just having a good time with your friends, that's what you should pair with. It's good company and just easy, comfort, shareable food.
So now, if you guys haven't been over there, Yeah, you haven't been over to Three Gatos. You're over in Wyoming, right down the heart of Wyoming.
Yes, we are at in the intersection of 44th and Burlingame at the Chateau Center Strip Mall, right next to Delsky's Meats, which is maybe you guys know.
Sure.
Really good source.
We know Dave
Delsky.
We know Dave.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yep. So this is a Brazilian influenced restaurant, right?
Yes. Yeah, me and my wife, we are Brazilians, so we try to bring some of our culture to the place. In the foods and in the atmosphere.
So give me a couple uniquely Brazilian items off your menu, because I'm feeling like there's a lot of our listeners that maybe aren't exposed to Brazilian food.
Yeah, so we have a lot of very typical Brazilian appetizers. As I just said, the coxinha, the chicken dumpling. We also have bolinha de queijo, which is a mozzarella dumpling. Yuca fries, they're from Brazil, very popular in Brazil, a little bit hard to find around this area. And then on the sandwich side, we do carne louca, direct translation is crazy meat, but what it is a pulled beef sandwich. We slow cook some chuck-eye with tomato, onions, and bell peppers, super hearty and savory. So Brazil is as big as continental U.S., minus Alaska. So the diversity in food in Brazil is just like in here. So we try to focus on Brazilian food that is like comfort food, savory food, hearty food. Every weekend we do something different. Like this weekend, first weekend of every month, we make feijoada. Feijoada is the quintessential Brazilian food. It's a black bean and pork meat stew with white rice, farofa, and some sautéed collard greens.
That sounds awesome.
Wow. The bomb for a nice chilly weekend like the one we're going to have this week.
Right. So my question is, what kind of seasonings and spices are the mainstays in Brazilian cooking?
Garlic.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, right. No harm done there. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Linus,
I like to joke saying that every Brazilian dish starts by sautéing garlic and onions, even a chocolate cake.
Hey, is the front porch still open?
Yes. Yeah, we keep the front porch, the outside patio open as long as the weather allows us. So you can sit outside, hang out. You can bring your dog and hang out there with us.
Very cool.
Oh, you're going to get Joppy over there because he's got two dogs.
Yeah, I got big dogs. But I don't know, though, because if they start smelling that food that you're bringing out, they may be going to all the people that are sitting at different tables and begging.
They're
going to
make friends.
Yeah.
They're going to make friends.
Yeah, and the big old black lab, she drools a bit when she smells something that's really good. So, yeah, I'll have to walk around to all the people around my table and hand them extra napkins.
Yeah. Hey, Linus, thanks so much for taking the time this morning and hanging out with us. Everybody ought to get out there. If you haven't been to Three Gatos, get down there, try some of these beers. I mean, if you're really not into the big craft beer thing, the Kolsch is a great one. If you're an IPA guy like me, he told us he's got two great ones all the time.
Yeah, and Linus, tell everybody where you're at again, and if you've got a website, give us that one too.
Yeah, so again, we are in Wyoming, right on the corner of 44th Street Southwest and Burlingame at the Chateau Center, right next to Delsky Meats. Our website is Three Gatos Beer, the number three, then GATOSbeer.com. And there you can find everything about us, our food menus, our beer lineup, our story and everything.
Very nice. Well, Linus, thanks for making time today. We appreciate you tuning in. And I'm going to darken your door. My wife and I will be over, and we might even bring a hound with us. So that's good.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for having me, you guys.
Yeah, right. We'll see you, Linus. See you. I don't know about you, Randy, but that sounds like one of those
It's a must-do.
Must-dos.
Right. I've been there twice, and there was a brewery there called Kitzigan brewery before the Linus and his wife took it over and made it theirs. And that we my wife had a connection because her dad was in the war in Kitzingen, Germany. We actually took some artifacts that my wife had from her family and donated them to the guys at Kitzingen so they could put them on the wall because they were literally from that area of the world. But anyway, Linus is stepped this up a bunch.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's an amazing little place over there. And it really filled a hole.
Right.
Between 28th Street and, I mean, the next brewery south is Byron Center.
Right.
Yep. And there was nothing in there for quite a while. And when Kits went out,
right,
I was like, hold on.
Yeah. But no.
And Linus has been kicking it now for a few years. And if you guys haven't been there, go check it out, because just even getting his appetizers is amazing.
Yeah, you heard dumplings. You heard different kinds of dumplings, and they're wonderful. They're soft. They're just a little chewy, but just the texture is wonderful. And
I'm wondering about that chocolate cake that starts with the garlic.
Yeah, and onions. Yeah, I'm sure he's got it there. If he said it's there, it's there. But anyway, a very good place. Check it out. Three Gatos Brewing in Wyoming. But coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit of venison recipe. Chaz always has venison in the freezer, and he's going to impart some of us on it. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is up safely in a tree, trying to shoot a deer. So my buddy Chaz is with us. If you've been listening, you recognize that baritone voice. But Chaz is much more avid of a deer hunter. I'm a deer partier more than I am a deer hunter, although I've been talked to by a couple of my Shartucky boys that, you know what, it's been a while since you shot a deer, Jop. You ought to have one. And I'm blessed to be able to go down to some really great hunting areas and probably could get one if I wanted it. So I'm leaning towards doing that again this year.
There's a lot of deer out there. Yeah, I was showing you the other day those pictures on the camera. We're seeing a lot of good-sized bucks out there.
Right.
A lot of does.
Yeah.
And actually, the DNR just came out with a thing. They want you to shoot more does.
Yeah.
It's part of their population control program.
Yep. They all taste the same. Right?
Actually, and the does taste better.
Right. Yeah. The testosterone's not running through their blood that in the fall like it is in the bucks.
And they're usually a little more tender because they're not, you know, fighting weight.
Right. Yeah.
And things. And now, one of the things that it's a go-to for me and the guys up at camp, my buddy Steph calls it VAP.
Okay.
It's venison and pancakes.
Oh, really?
And what we do is we just brown up some stew-sized cut-ups.
Oh, okay. So they're
steak.
Cubed.
Yeah, just cube up some extra steak, especially if you've got some odd-shaped stuff, right?
Oh, sure.
Brown it up, make a gravy.
Oh.
And just serve that over pancakes.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. It is so good. And if you make your gravy a little bit on the savory side, you know, put some rosemary in there. Get some garlic and onions to start.
Yep.
And it really makes a great filling meal. And a lot of times up at camp, especially when we're going to be out in the woods for all day,
right?
You want something a little more filling,
and right?
It works for breakfast. It works for dinner. I don't care. I'll eat it anytime.
VAP, huh? Never heard of that before.
It's one of those things. And my buddy Steph, everybody that in his family is like, you gonna make some more VAP?
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a cool one. I've never heard of that before. And so the gravy, what are you using for a gravy base? I mean, you're going to get some drippings off the...
You got some drippings because you're going to use some fat to brown your meat and
right.
stuff. And usually we will actually lightly bread the venison when it goes in. And that way you're starting your gravy base already.
Right.
And then you're just going to... A little bit of cornstarch solution to your flour and
right.
thickens it right up.
Yeah. Ooh.
And get your savory in early.
Okay.
So it cooks in with the meat a bit.
Yeah.
And then just make the gravy right around it all, one big cast iron pan.
Ooh.
And man, just have a stack good. Of flapjacks sitting over there ready to go.
Right. Yep. So you got a jack maker and you got the sauce maker, and together they make a beautiful breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Yeah.
That would stick with you too, those pancakes
it's
underneath
great.
There. Yeah.
Another one that we always really love is just venison stew.
Yeah.
I mean, put those root vegetables and such in the pot, cube them up to where nobody's got to cut them, right?
Right.
You want them spoon size.
So you're doing potatoes, maybe carrots,
onions, maybe a little rutabaga in there if you got access to it.
Right.
Then
take it off the turkey pile.
Yeah. Yeah. The turkey pile. But anyway, we get in there and, you know, just I like to brown a lot of that stuff up before I throw it in the
pot. Same pan, though.
Oh, yeah.
Brown it up in there
brown
before
right
you
up.
Put the rest of the stew stuff in
and
there.
I just work everything through the cast iron. Now, I will switch to a different pan if I'm pre-making it. And
oh,
one
sure.
of the big things for camp, like you're doing, is you're taking a hot box.
Right.
I take a cold box.
Well, sure.
I got a
Because you're doing it for days ahead. I'm doing it from the smoker, too. I want to serve it in a couple hours.
But I load it all up in one of my crock pots, and I got a couple of those that got the snap-down lids.
Yeah.
And you can let that thing set out in your trailer when November comes.
Sure.
For a couple of days, it's a big walk-out refrigerator.
Right, right.
Then in the morning when you're going to go out to the blind, plug that thing in, set her on low.
Right.
She'll be perfect by the time you come in at dark.
Right, yeah, and ready to go.
Chili works that way.
Do you use venison in your chili?
Exclusively.
Is it ground or
I use the grind.
Okay, yep.
And I'm a Michigan boy, so I've got some beans in there.
Yeah.
Yep. And lots of that garlic and onions in there as well.
Yeah.
Now, I don't put other vegetables in except for some tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And not a lot of that.
Right.
You know, I can get in with that. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I was on, if the venison flavor itself is not all you can use a little bit of beef stock.
Right.
To kind of give that beef flavor in there. And whether you buy the stock or you mix it up out of the powder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It can just kind of help transition it for the people that aren't that into venison.
Right. So venison steaks, right? They'll come off the rump end, and then, of course, there's tenderloins, and there's the back straps that everybody covets. Making all three of those areas of the animal are very lean, right? And venison, you buy a piece of beef, it's marbled. It's been bred, and the animal's just different. The meat itself has marbling in it. Veins of fat, really, is what that is. But fat is flavor when we make meat. The venison, Mother Nature has not done that to those muscles, right? So they're very, very lean, and they tend to dry out, right? Especially if you overcook them. So one of the things that I stumbled on, because it's the fall time of year, everything's being harvested. One of the things is apple cider. And what I've done with those steaks is I just get a Ziploc bag or a plastic Tupperware type container and put the steaks in there and just cover them with apple cider. There's a little bit of acidity in there, but there's a little bit of sweetness. And what that does is it takes some of that strong venison flavor out of the meat. And then maybe just 2 or 3 hours is there. It's in that just plain apple cider.
You can even step it up a little bit with vac sealer.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially if you're going to marinate and throw it in the cooler to take it somewhere to cook.
Sure. Yeah. Easy way to transport it. You're exactly right because it's sealed. You know, you got to have a good trigger finger on your vac seal when you got liquid in the bag, but it works, right? I mean, you can perfect that. That's easy to do. But anyway, that when you take that out, obviously rinse it off, right? Pour the cider away. You're not going to reuse it for anything. And then just grill it I don't use a hot grill, but not super hot, but just a minute on each side because I want that medium rare when I'm done. And it tends to cook a little quicker once it's marinated. So be careful.
And stay towards the rare side.
Yeah, right.
Because it's so lean, it will dry out so fast.
Right.
That you have to be very, very careful with that venison.
Yeah. So if I've got that cider profile on there, then I generally don't use a lot of other seasoning. I just like that apple. It just reeks of fall to me. This is a fall meal. And everybody that I've served that to has been like, wow, that's really good. I never would have thought of that.
Well, also the acid in it's going to help tenderize as well.
Right, right.
And depending on how your ven's cut, and you know, we're not talking about a 2,000-pound cow here.
Right.
This is a couple hundred-pound animal, and that's counting the bones. So
right, yeah.
Your steaks aren't going to be huge.
Right.
You're not going to get a big porterhouse off of them.
Right, right. And the back straps are about the size of a tennis ball and maybe 16, 18 inches long if you got a big deer. And, you know, just cut those in like an inch, inch and a half thick medallion.
Yep.
Right? Go right down that strap, and then you could marinate the whole thing. But I usually marinate them after I've cut them, only because then I've got all four sides that are exposed to the marinade, right? And again, it gets a little more of that flavor in there. But you certainly could do it as a roast and just slice it at the table if that's the presentation you're looking for.
Yeah, if you're going to do it as a roast, make sure you got plenty of moisture in there.
Right.
You know, pour a beer in with your vegetables in there and put it in the crock pot and low.
Right.
And that venison, just like if you were doing beef, is eventually just going to kind of fall apart.
Right.
And it's going to make a great, great meal.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's nature's bounty, man. This is the time of year. The bow season started on October 1st, and gun is obviously the middle of November and the 15th when that starts. But this is a wonderful time to be in Michigan this time of year. I know God paints a pretty picture when those trees start changing. And where we are in southern Michigan, it hasn't quite hit yet, but I'm sure in the UP, she's at peak or better. And as it creeps down the state, it's just a great time to jump in your buggy and go find it. Because get out of the city, right? And get out in the country, and you'll see some amazing things right
now.
Hey,
and, you know, there's still some northern lights popping out.
Yeah, I heard that this year.
And it's been quite the season for them. Take the color tour, take the girl. Go have a ride.
Yeah, disappear for the weekend. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not this weekend because it's Pulaski days. Right. But, well, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each every week. Chaz, thanks for sitting in, brother. And, Bob, we hope you got a deer. So
strap in case you take a nap.
All right. We'll talk with you next week. See ya.